Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, and this is part three with Dennis Wagner on the top 10 Darwin and Design science news stories for 2009. In the previous two podcasts, we looked at the honorable mention stories and then stories numbered 10 through 6. Today, we're going to look at the top five science stories from 2009 in the debate over evolution and ID. So, Dennis, thanks for coming back on the show with us.
It's great to be here, Casey.
Let's talk about another interesting debate. Supposedly, there is no debate over intelligent design and evolution. Yet, in September of 2009, Nature published an article by Joe Thornton of the University of Oregon, which was talked about publicly as if it refuted irreducible complexity by the authors of the paper. Well, Michael Behe actually responded to the paper, and in a series of blog exchanges, Behe and Thornton went back and forth debating whether or not this evidence really supported Darwinian evolution. Can you tell us a little bit more about this paper, Dennis?
As you know, Michael Behe published his second book, The Edge of Evolution, The Search for the Limits of Darwinism. And this is really what this paper is about, talking about constraints for the direction of receptor evolution. And so Michael Behe pointed that out, that the evidence in this paper actually supported his theory that there are limits to what Darwinism can do. And, of course, the authors came back and had a traditional Darwinian interpretation of that. And so a blog exchange started. So we were glad to see the evidence published in the science literature, and we're glad to see a dialogue happen between Michael Behe and Joseph Thornton, whose lab this research was done in. We think this is a good sign that the evidence is being talked about.
Yes, they're debating the controversy that doesn't exist. This is always very interesting.
Right.
One of my favorite of your top 10 stories this year, Dennis, was an article published by Eugene Koonin in Nucleic Acids Research, which talked about how the modern synthesis is failing. Can you tell us a little bit about this fascinating story?
Well, basically, the modern synthesis was formulated in the 30s or 40s, drawing together seemingly conflicting evidence for evolution, from natural selection to population genetics, systematics, botany, ecology, paleontology. So they pulled it all together into one modern theory of neo-Darwinian evolution. But what pointed out in this article by Koonin is that there's been three revolutions in biology that basically fly in the face of the modern synthesis theory. And he would say that those three revolutions were the molecular revolution, the microbiological revolution, and the genomic revolution. And he talks specifically about the genomic revolution in this paper and goes into detail of why the modern synthesis theory of evolution has to be discarded. He thinks that perhaps we can replace it with chance or law, but as you know, the explanatory filter that Dembski comes up with says chance can explain some things, law can explain some things, but some things are not explained well by either one of those, and that's where design theory comes in.
Yes, Dennis, I think that we're seeing over time that more and more scientists are really criticizing the modern synthesis of evolution. And yet we hear constantly that there's no crisis in Darwinian biology, and many of these criticisms actually hit at whether or not the modern synthesis can account for new complex biological features. And I think that this is the same kind of question that ID proponents are asking, although, of course, Eugene Koonin is no ID proponent, clearly a materialist, but these are the same kinds of questions. Dennis, can you tell us about the next story, the collectivist revolution in biology?
Yeah, this is actually just a small essay. If you follow the link on our website, and again, your listeners can find all of these stories at arn.org/top10, TOP10, and you can pull up the PDF that has all these stories with links to the original articles. And you can go read this essay that appeared in the August issue of Nature Physics by Mark Buchanan. Basically, what he's saying is that he thinks there's a revolution, a collectivist revolution coming in biology that's already happened in physics. And here's his quote. He says, "A coming revolution may go so far as to unseat Darwinian evolution as the key explanatory process in biology." And he's saying that thinking is moving away from reductionist type concepts, which, of course, Darwin's theory is a very reductionist theory, and is adopting more of a holistic interactionism. And so, you know, the example in biology would be, you would say, well, just the gene explains everything in the cell, and that would be a reductionist way to look at it. And the holistic way would be, say, no, the environment, everything that's going on in the cell determines what happens in the cell, not just the gene. And so we're seeing more and more of this thinking and biology that has already happened in physics. And so he's predicting in this essay that we're going to see the same holistic change in biology, where we're looking at things as interacting networks and not reductionist pieces and parts.
Dennis, your number two story is Stephen Meyer's book, Signature in the Cell. Obviously, our listeners have heard all about this book. We've talked about it a ton on the Idea of the Future podcast. It was named one of the top books of the year by the Times Literary Supplement of London. Stephen Meyer was named Daniel of the Year by World Magazine, and it was one of the best-selling science books on Amazon.com for 2009. So maybe it goes without saying that this would be one of your top stories, but I want to hear it from you. Why did you name Signature in the Cell one of the top science stories of ID for 2009?
Well, I think it was a culmination of Steve's career. And, you know, he's done a lot of work. As you know, he studied in Cambridge and has been, you know, just deeply involved in these questions of life's origins. And so I saw this as a culmination of his career and looking into these issues. And the whole thing can be boiled down to two words, DNA enigma. Those are the words that Steve uses to describe what he talks about in his book. And that is, where did the information in DNA come from? Everybody acknowledges there's information in DNA. You know, we knew that back with the discovery made by Crick and Watson and the four bases, and that they're arranged in such a way as to contain information. So where does information come from? Information just does not appear randomly in nature. There always has to be a source for information. And so this book, I thought, was the tour de force for that argument that, you know, there's information in living systems, and information has to have a source. It can't arise by random processes. So, you know, when you talk about the gigabyte plus of information we now know is in our DNA, it's just mind-boggling. Start comparing the information on that to computer systems. Again, it just kind of blows your mind. Not only the information, but the machinery there to process the information. So I thought the combination of Steve's well-documented, well-argued book that showed that he understood all the materialistic theories and laid them out and showed the problems with them. And then that combined with, you know, I saw him in Colorado here when he spoke at a large convention, a couple thousand people, he's such a great communicator in bringing these, what can be complex, descriptions of biology down to a level that can be appreciated by everyone. So that's why it's number two book on our story on our list.
Well, it's an honor to Steve Meyer to be able to be there on your list, Dennis. Let's get to the number one Darwin and Design science news story for 2009, and that is that there is intelligent input required for life, and that argument was actually made in a significant peer-reviewed scientific article published in the September 2009 issue of the journal IEEE Transactions on Systems, Man, and Cybernetics. We actually interviewed William Dembski, one of the co-authors of that paper, with Robert Marx earlier in 2009 on the ID of the Future podcast, so our listeners might want to go back and listen to that. But why, in your opinion, was this a significant paper and worthy of being in the number one spot for the top science news story for 2009?
Well, the reason we felt it was the number one story is because for years the Darwinists have been saying, you know, intelligent design proponents don't do any research and they don't publish in peer-reviewed journals. And so here we have just another example that's completely false, that there is research going on. Dembski and Bob Marx have what they call the Evolutionary Informatics Lab, under which they've been doing some of this research. Do you know the Biological Institute is now doing research on ID from an ID perspective? So there is research going on, and there are articles being published in peer-reviewed journals. And so we think this is a significant story for that reason. We think that we're going to see more articles this way. As you know, from the whole expelled experience, it's hard for our scientists to get published in the biological journals. And so we think we're going to see more like this in the engineering physics journals. The physicists and engineers seem to be more open to the concept of design because I think they recognize it more quickly. And the biologists, for some reason, are captivated under the spell of Darwinism, that somehow Darwinism has a magic process that can create these things. And until we can get them out from under that spell, I think we're going to have a hard time getting papers published in the biology area. But you're going to see more and more of them in the engineering and the physics journals, like this one that appeared by Dembski and Marx.
Well, that's great, Dennis. And I think that these might have actually come out after you guys put together your Darwin and Design news stories. But right at the very end of 2009, Dembski and Marx actually have two more papers they published in a mainstream science journal. And actually, if our listeners stay tuned, we're going to have a couple of interviews with Robert Marx and another one of the co-authors of those papers coming up here on ID the Future in the coming weeks. So, Dennis, these are some stellar stories that you guys have come up with for the year 2009. Again, our listeners, if you want to read about these stories on the Access Research Network, go to arn.org/top10. That's the Access Research Network. And Dennis, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about the Access Research Network before we sign off here?
Oh, just that we have a whole array of papers by some leading ID folks. We've got a lot of videos, books, and this year we started our own radio show, Darwin and Design radio show that we co-host with Tom Woodward. You can find a link to that and listen into that. So now, in addition to the ID podcast that you guys do, we've got a radio show that people can listen to in Tampa Bay and New York, New Jersey area, and they can also listen to that on the internet as well. A lot of great resources coming out, and we have more and more avenues to get the word out.
ARN is one of my personal favorite websites for intelligent design. I check it on a regular basis. You guys have a number of wonderful ID blogs. You have probably the biggest online ID bookstore and media resources store. So listeners, I definitely encourage you to check out ARN.org, the website of the Access Research Network. This is Casey Luskin with the ID of the Future podcast. Stay tuned because we're going to come back with Dennis Wagner in the future as he compiles the top 10 media stories for 2009 in intelligent design and also the top 10 ID resources for 2009. How does that sound, Dennis?
That sounds great. Hopefully we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thanks. Well, stay tuned. I'm Casey Luskin with the ID of the Future podcast signing off. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.